97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
I'm Heidi Harrison from Mark Reardon. Looking forward to a great weekend. We're going to talk a little bit more about the golf tournament coming up. Talk a little movie stuff, a little sports stuff. Talk about Fernando Mendoza playing with the Raiders. Some hits and some misses in the preseason football. We'll talk about, obviously, St. Louis sports. So lots coming up here on the Mark Reardon Show. I did not realize that the Missouri cold case playing cards have now, they have a second edition now. So I guess they must have had a first edition at some point. Have you heard about this, Sue, where they have the cold cases on the playing cards? Have you heard about
this? No, I had no idea.
Okay, so I'm glad to know because it's the second edition. So I must have totally missed the first edition of this. All right. So what they're called is Missouri's cold case playing cards. They feature 52 unsolved cases involving homicides, missing people, and unidentified human remains.
Whoa.
From across Missouri.
Is this a new thing? Because I've not heard of it. Obviously, if the first ones came out, that it's not.
I know. It's a second edition. So apparently you and I missed the first edition.
That's
that
an
came
interesting
out.
Idea.
Isn't it an interesting idea?
Yeah.
I love it. And this is this project, they're saying, is part of a team effort with the FBI, Missouri State Highway Patrol, Missouri Department of Corrections, and police departments around Missouri. And what they basically do is they pass these out because there may be people quietly sitting in, a jail cell or something who might see this and might remember something about that particular case.
Wow.
I think it's a great idea. So they're being distributed throughout Missouri's prison system in hopes, like I said, that they're going to be able to, they might know something or details or some kind. I think this is a great idea. They got nothing else to do in prison except sit there and look at playing cards with the unidentified things on it, right? So why not?
Why not? I've never heard of anything like that before. I wonder who came up with it. And did some other state do it? And was it successful? I'm just wondering these things.
You know, I don't know the history on this. I really don't. But they have, for example, just to give you an example of some of what the cards have on them. One focuses on the Interstate 70 killer, I-70, who they say killed at least six people in Missouri, Kansas, and Indiana in 1992. While they were working alone in small retail businesses near the highway. So that would be your first clue, right? If everybody who's a victim had something in common, which in this case was working the late night shift at the Stop and Rob or whatever, right?
Right, right.
So that's how they go, the similar circumstances here. They were the last person working in the, you know, seamstress shop or whatever it would be, right? So there were six people. This is 1992. That was one of the focuses.
I'll be darned.
I know. And the authorities are saying this is not for fun or a joke in any way. And it's, you know, by the way, shameless plug, I'll put it out there. I'm now doing a podcast called Vegas Crime Files.
Mm.
And it's all first accounts about very interesting crimes in Vegas. We did everything from the October 1. That was a massacre on the strip, the mass shooting. And we talked about the guy who showed up in the barrel. Do you remember that story where as Lake Mead has receded a year or so, they found a barrel with a guy in it?
Jeez.
Yeah.
Okay, and I am seeing this online that they've done these cards in Washington State.
Okay.
Snohomish County Sheriff's Office, cold case unit created a deck of playing cards. I'll be darned. Well, I'm sorry, I interrupted your podcast talk. How's that going? That sounds interesting.
That's the history. But one of the things that we talked about on the podcast is, you know, this guy who was in the lake, who'd been in a barrel for probably 40 years, and
Jeez.
They found the skeleton. And talked to one of the guys who was on the cold case squad trying to figure out who this guy was. And it was so funny because the former mayor of Las Vegas, who used to be a mob attorney, for those who don't know the history, they had tracked down the clothing of this dead guy to Kmart. And the former mayor, Oscar Goodman, said, well, it wouldn't be one of my guys. They wouldn't be wearing Kmart clothes.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Anyway, no slam on Kmart, but I mean that's what I'm saying. There are all kinds of very interesting cold cases all over the country that I'm fascinated by. And there are websites I'm not talking about gory websites, but there are websites that will talk about this person and that person was found in this and that condition or with this or that item of clothing on them or whatever, because a lot of times what do you get? Just a skeleton.
Right.
So if they have a button or they have a certain outfit on or maybe or, you know, some hair, they can identify me. People are fascinated. It's shocking how many people are missing or who are found and not identified.
Oh, I'm sure that's true. Okay.
Like here's
Florida came up with these things first in 2007, the playing
cards. Okay, thank you.
Okay. And they say that cumulative, because I said, is it successful? And they say cumulative nationwide tracking indicates roughly 15 to 18 participating states. And they haven't tracked necessarily whether stuff was solved, but they have gotten hundreds of new tips.
I think that's great.
Yes.
I mean, I think they, and obviously each state's going to do it the same way. Here's a woman by the name of Nancy Brannon, last seen in 1986 after leaving the Halftime Saloon in St. Louis.
Wow.
Her locked vehicle was found in the parking lot of her apartment building with her purse nearby. So that's a case that's still out there.
Wow. Okay. One in South Carolina, early rollouts led to arrests or convictions in roughly 8 to 10 homicide cases.
That is fantastic.
I love it. Wow. Who would have thought of that? It's just a really good idea.
I think it's a very good idea because, once again, people who may not realize, a lot of times people don't realize what they know.
Right.
And they go, oh, yeah, I remember that. That used to be so-and-so's girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever. And I thought they solved that. Oh, I didn't realize. Right. And they knew the person at the time. And, you know, like there when I talked about the guy in the barrel in this podcast, once again, Vegas Crime Files, shameless plug. It's on the Odyssey app or anywhere you get podcasts. I talked to one guy. The cold case detective is one of them. Talked to another guy who grew up with a guy they think might be the guy in the barrel because he was real shady, a shady character in Vegas at the time. And the last thing he told his family was, hey, I'm going out to show a guy my boat at Lake Mead.
Was it?
And he was, yeah, that was the last time they saw him. You know, so you don't know, but Vegas was quite the Wild West back then. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's,
but every town, every state has this. Every city has these crazy cases like this. And I think it's a great idea that they're doing this. I really do.
And they say, you know what? It's a relatively inexpensive way, kind of a low risk way to tap into prison intelligence. Right? Interesting.
Right.
Very interesting.
Yeah, I got the ace of spades over here. I think I know who shot that guy.
Wow, crazy.
I don't know how it works, but what, you know, why not? People are fascinated by this and the cold cases. You know, somebody's out there waiting for news on a cold case that's 20, 30, 40 years old or more. There's somebody who knows something.
Absolutely. And I love it when they find them by DNA, you know, the golden, was it the Golden State or the Golden, whatever it was. Because somebody in his family turned in their DNA trying to see if they had relatives. And this guy had gotten away with it for 30, 40 years, and they got him. Love him.
Absolutely. That's true. That's and then sometimes they figure out who did it. There was a recent case in Vegas where they found out who killed somebody, but that person has been dead for years. But at least they know that the person who killed, at least they've given the family some kind of closure.
Right.
Because somebody out there loved him and somebody out there cared about him. And yeah, it's shocking how many people are missing and how many people are, you know, are victims of crimes that no one has any idea because, and it's funny because the solve rate, even with all the DNA and everything we have now, if you look up the solve statistics versus 20, 30, 40 years ago, they haven't changed much, oddly.
Isn't that crazy?
I know. With all the DNA and things like that, you'd think it would be, you'd think it would be different, but it's, yeah, people are fascinated by this. That's for sure. I did one episode of this Vegas Crime Files where I had a guy on who was the sergeant in homicide when they were chasing the MS-13 guys around Vegas who now been convicted, a couple of them. And this guy had to spend, they were looking for a guy in the mountains that they knew where these guys went, these MS-13 guys, because they were tracking their movements. And they knew that they kept going up in the mountains outside of Vegas. So they track them to a certain place. Nobody was there, but they kind of started looking in places they had been, and there was somebody missing. So they traipsed through the mountains. They find this guy. Mm. And my friend had to spend the entire night on the mountain with a dead body. Oof. Until the morning, till they could get him out of there. Can you imagine sitting on the mountain, and you don't want to know what MS-13 does to people. Can you imagine sitting there on a mountain all night long with somebody who's deceased and having to guard the body?
Well, I'll tell you what, if that's my job, I'm probably used to it. The rest of us are like, no thanks.
And all I can say is God bless the cops. God bless the first responders. God bless these people who stand between us and evil. Because they're absorbing things, they're seeing things, they're experiencing things so that we don't have to, right?
Yep, that's right.
And God bless him for that. And I know, you know, people have seen, you know, it's probably like a movie. You know, they close their eyes and they see things that you and I can't even imagine. you know, that they're not going to get out of their minds. So God bless them for that. So I think it's a great idea, and they should probably do that. So they're doing it. You said 18 states now they're doing these cards?
Yeah, okay, yeah. So up in the teens, the upper teens. So good for them. And Florida first, I should have guessed that.
Yeah, right. God bless them. God bless them. How long have they been doing it in Florida? Would you say 10 years?
2007.
Oh, 20 years. Wow. Yeah. Good for them. I think it's a great idea. And every state has, I mean, at least 52 cold cases floating around, don't they?
Oh, at least. I don't know how you cull it down.
Yeah, I don't. Exactly. I don't know how you cull it down either. Because if you start looking back through the records in any state, you'll find all kinds of things. That, you know, the cops just, they have to keep up with today. They can only give so much attention to something that happened 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. They got more bodies. I mean, they get, you know, a couple bodies a week in most places.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so interesting. All right. Well, there's your little, grab yourself a little. I don't know if they'll give them to the public. In the public, I don't know if the public can access these or not. Apparently, at this point, they're going to be distributed in the prison system in Missouri. So we'll find out. We're going to put Sue on the case. And if she finds out any information, she'll let you know, right?
Oh, yeah.
You want to get your hands on one of those, don't you?
I don't know if it'd do any good, but sure.
Yeah, you know, people are interested. Even if you don't know anybody who's missing, you're interested in the whole story. I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Reardon. I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Reardon. Here's Sue's News.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Well, happy National Senior Citizens Day, huh? I don't, you know what? I should have looked up what age that's supposed to be, but I did not. I think we're all very young. Fred, you look young.
It's always 1 year older than what you are.
Okay, that's a really good point.
That's a great answer, Fred. Uh-huh. Yeah. Great answer.
Yeah, this is why he's a Hall of Famer.
You know, if you were on like Family Feud and that answer got said,
oh,
I don't know
right.
if that would be like on the board, but you would get major props from Steve Harvey for that one.
Totally agreed. It's also National Spumoni Day. Now, your thoughts on Spumoni. Heidi, do you know what this is?
I know it's something Italian. Is it ice cream or a dessert or something?
It's the ice cream that has three, it's essentially three-layer gelato. So it's got different colors that are supposed to look, you know, all the Italian colors. So generally, pistachio, cherry, and chocolate. And apparently when it originally came out, it had like diced fruit in it. It didn't look great. Now, Fred, do you order it, the Spumoni, or
you know, given no other choice, I would take it. But I think the fruit part kind of bothers me. I don't think I like that in the ice cream.
Yeah, sometimes they put like a chunk of cherry in there. Ethan, your thoughts. Have you had Spumoni?
I don't know if you heard me when you first said it.
Oh,
I was like, oh, what?
Okay.
I got no idea. Okay. No idea what it is.
Well,
sorry
it's
to
not
disappoint.
Great. But
it really does need its own day.
I guess so. Okay. But I'm sure Italians out there are screaming, Sue, it's fantastic, and my mother makes one, and it's awesome. And I'm sure that is true. It's also National Fantasy Football Draft Day. Mm. Ethan, good Lord, I can't believe I have to talk about it. But at least Reardon is not hearing me talk about it.
It's a very special day. It's a very special day, Sue. You know, it's where all of us dudes and some ladies out there get to live out that dream of having full control of their own team and being able to just do what they want, run it how they want. And you know what? Everyone is also undefeated at this point. There is hope for a championship.
Do it for preseason.
Oftentimes that will disappear very quickly for a lot of teams. Not me. I'm a winner. I do nothing but win. Yeah, it's a special day. Mine's coming up next week, and if you remember, Sue, you know we always do the fancy outfits and go suits and ties and everything. And my orders are starting to get sent in, so you know we got something special planned this year.
You know, Sue.
Yes.
And Heidi, I have never taken part in any fantasy sport.
I haven't either.
And I think the main reason is because I think it's going to take a password, and I can't remember any more passwords.
It's going to take a password?
Of all of the reasons.
Oh, that's
the one.
Red.
That's a good one. My hard drive is full. I cannot
remember another
password.
That's right.
I get you. Absolutely.
Spumoni 123.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah, I guarantee you no one's using that. And when the, okay, so how much do you win, Ethan, on yours with the guys?
It varies, you know, depending on the sport. But for football, we each do, I think, we only do $20 buy-in. You know, we're all still young and broke, but I'm sure it'll continue to increase as the years goes on. I think it's like $200. It's nothing crazy.
And I think Mark says that his wife is the better player than he is in this sport.
Yeah,
oh, really?
That could be.
Yeah, she makes good choices.
Yeah, I think he puts a little bit more money into his leagues than I do as well.
You might be right about that. On this day in history, 148 years ago, it was in the 1800s, 1878, that the American Bar Association was founded. And it was founded in Saratoga, New York, by 75 lawyers from 20 states. I should have wished that to Brad, who was
you know,
on earlier.
He probably celebrates it.
He probably does.
Yeah, this is like his national radio day. It's a big couple of days for Brad Young.
Yeah,
it's true.
Wow. It really is.
Very true.
On this day in history, 115 years ago, in 1911, was when the Mona Lisa was stolen from the Louvre. And it was by Vincenzo Perugia. And what he did was hid in a closet when the Louvre shut down. Then came out at night when no one was there, and I don't know, he probably knew how the guards worked, took the frame and took it out of the frame, stuffed it in his jacket, and then just walked out with the employees the next day.
Wow.
Then, yeah, he was, and apparently the story goes that he had thought, well, you know what, of course he couldn't sell it. I mean, nobody, what are you going to do with it? He thought he'd get a reward when he brought it back. No. No, they arrested him.
I was going to say, like, that would never happen today, but this literally happened, like, just like, what was that, last year? Did they ever find any of the stuff that was stolen?
The Mona Lisa.
Right, but I mean, still, I mean, it was from the Louvre, right?
Yeah.
Did they ever find that?
I'm not sure.
Have any of you guys ever seen the Mona Lisa?
I have. But
I have not.
From a distance over the heads of many people in front of me. Do you?
No, I haven't. I think the biggest thing I've ever seen is to the Starry, Starry Night.
Oh, that's about beautiful, though. Oh, so beautiful.
Where was that at?
In D.C.
Okay.
Yeah, or New York.
Or the National Gallery.
I think it was New York. One of the
two. And then you got the National Gallery of Art in D.C., which is amazing. But they've got cameras everywhere. How can anybody get away with anything?
I know. You really have to have some chutzpah, shall we say, and an escape car, et cetera. Okay, Odyssey has just become the highest-grossing R-rated movie of all time, with a global take of almost $1.4 billion. And the previous record holder was Deadpool and Wolverine with a little over $1.3 billion. And there's kind of a weird connection between the two. In Deadpool and Wolverine, did you see that, Ethan?
Yes.
Okay, well, you know the scene where the title characters get into a huge fight inside a Honda Odyssey?
Yes.
Okay, so Ryan Reynolds then posts a video with clips from both movies and said, quote, "Congratulations to the entire cast and crew of The Odyssey for becoming the highest grossing R-rated movie of all time. That's one hell of a car."
That is hilarious. Who's seen the anybody? I have not seen it yet. It looks like it's pretty good.
I've seen it.
Oh, yeah.
It was great.
Loved it. Huge fan of it. But, you know, Mark and I had a discussion on air after we had both seen it and had different reviews. Let's just say that mine was with the large majority of the world. Mark's was not.
Well, and let's play a little bit of this since it's Friday, Ethan. This one is the cast of Shrinking visited Sesame Street back in May to film 6 episodes, and Cookie Monster posted a behind the scenes clip with Harrison Ford the other day, and it's gone viral. It's the two of them eating cookies while they hum the Indiana Jones theme song.
Nom 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 nom.
Okay. As a daughter of a trumpet player, the horns are missing, is all I have to say.
Oh, that really amused me. And finally, in Sue's news, we have today's random fact. The original Toy Story in 1995 was the first feature-length movie made entirely with computer imagery. That's
wow.
It for Sue's news.
I'm Heidi Harrison from Mark Reardon. Mark Reardon returns on Monday. He's out there screwing around at the golf tournament. That's what he's doing. I can finesse you, but that's what he's doing. Having a great time. We're going to talk a little bit more about the big golf tournament this weekend. We'll talk about that next hour. Well, let's talk a little movie stuff. Paul Hall's here with Common Guys Film Reviews. How are you doing, Paul? Welcome to the Mark Reardon Show.
I'm doing well, Heidi. I declare mutiny today. Mark is not here, so mutiny seems to be the way we have to go.
And we have a clip from that, don't we?
We do.
Born and raised in London. Father was a cop. Grandfather was a cop. He ends up serving under his dad, investigating a human trafficking operation. So why'd he leave the UK? Fall goes cold.
By now, what it matters is we get those people to safety.
Tell me what you want. Everybody wants something.
Vengeance.
Well, what'd you think of the movie?
Well, Heidi, Sue, I have to ask you, Jason Statham fans or not? Of course, this would be the first question I'd ask you.
I liked him in The Meg. Does that count for anything?
It does. It's a Jason Statham film.
It was a great movie. It was, I don't care. It's a popcorn movie. What about you, Sue? She's ignoring us. That's okay.
Yeah, I would.
I like Statham. No, I haven't seen a ton of his stuff, but I like him. So how was he in this?
Well, if you've seen any of his movies, every one of his movies is very similar. He's that tough guy that's there. Things happen. And I regret someone's comment online about, you know, someone's going to get in his way, someone's going to die, and he's going to go for vengeance. And that's kind of really what a lot of his films revolve around. Why? He does it well. Look, this movie is not going to win any awards. It's not going to be the movie that you fall back on and go, you know what I saw this weekend? Mutiny. It was really amazing. I won't forget it ever. No, I probably will forget it in about a week, but it's something you put on in the background later on, and you get 90 minutes of just nonstop action along the way. It's a fun movie. Am I going to tell you to rush out to the theater to see it? No, but you could do a lot worse than checking this out in theaters or when it finally comes home. You know, they had a big controversy earlier this week. Seems like there was a major streaming service that released this for free to its streaming platform earlier this week by mistake.
Uh-oh.
And so they had to kind of make good. There's some studios that are a little bit upset with the streaming service, and there's stories out there, so I'll leave that to you if you want to dig up which streaming service did it. But Mutiny's in theaters only, officially, this week.
Okay, interesting. So you were talking about Jason Statham, and I like him, okay, but it kind of reminds me of what Tom Cruise movies are, other than, you know, we all liked Top Gun Maverick. But it's always Tom Cruise in a car, Tom Cruise on a motorcycle, he's not an actor, he's a movie star, and that's different. So it sounds like the way you're describing Jason Statham, he's a movie star more than he is an actor. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, there's a reason why he was in The Expendables early in his career, because he was there already. He was at that point where him, Steven Seagal, that whole ilk of actors can do all those action films. However, I think Statham's got a lot of talent outside of his action chops, but that's kind of where he's pigeonholed right now. And let's be honest, he's making a lot of money doing it.
Well, nothing wrong with that. By the way, I saw Sue mentioned this earlier. Odyssey, highest grossing R-rated movie in history. That's amazing. And I was, you know, talking with Ethan during the break about it. He's seen it. I have not. But I was thinking, you know what? Testosterone's back and it's popular, isn't it? That's how I look at it, Paul.
Well, I don't know. I mean, think about the Odyssey and what it's based on. I mean, the works of Homer, which is something right. that, you know, is as long as we can remember. I might be a little older than that. I don't know. But I'll tell you, it's done well. And it's Christopher Nolan behind it. Now, Christopher Nolan is amazing in everything he did. And this was one of those few cases, you know, I usually do a lot, agree with Mark a lot on a lot of things. Mark was absolutely wrong, and Ethan is right on this one. And Ethan can take this clip and use it later to his advantage along the way. But this is a really good movie. It's one of my favorites of this year.
It feels so good to hear those words. And it's what I was going to follow up with, because I mean, listen, I'm not one to, you know, make noise just to make noise. You know, Mark is the one that knows a lot more about movies than I do. But I could not believe that when Mark says he doesn't like a movie that I really liked, it makes me question if I really liked that movie or not. And I was like, there's just no way. It felt so well done. The timing of it, a lot of the different shots. It was just so enjoyable.
It's amazing to look at. And for an R-rated movie, this is one that, yes, it's R-rated because of a lot of the violence that is in it. It's definitely a different R than Deadpool and Wolverine, but both are decent for what they are. You've got to fit them in their niche. You got to do and see what you're seeing instead of trying to lump all the R-rated movies necessarily together.
We're speaking with Paul Hall from Common Guys Film Reviews. I'm Heidi Harrison from Mark Reardon. You know, what I said about testosterone, I do think that people like seeing men do men things, and that seems to do, as far as I'm concerned, better at the box office than some of these other things.
It does, and it's one of those things where the romantic comedy, the dramas, unless the comedy breaks out of its shall we say, and becomes something bigger, they kind of have their little niches where the big budget action film, which is very testosterone driven in many cases, no matter what one you look up and down the line, those are kind of universal. They go anywhere. They translate anywhere. The reason why you don't get a big worldwide box office on a lot of those type of films or period pieces or dramas or whatever is that the language that we speak here is not necessarily the same language in China. And so certain things do not translate into other languages, and therefore a great big comedy here, a great big action film here, or a great big drama or a romance here does not necessarily translate as well as something blowing up. If it's blowing up here, it's blowing up there, it's blowing up everywhere.
Interesting. Never thought about that. Earned $124 million in the opening weekend. That's just crazy. Now it's earned $429. I know you know this, but for those who don't, $429 million domestically, $578 million in international ticket sales. Wow.
That's a fraction of what Spider-Man's doing. And the difference is Spider-Man being PG-13, having such a universal appeal. In 9 days, that became the top film this year. In its first 9 days Spider-Man was out, it was the top film in America. And that in and of itself is a feat that is crazy when you think of we're sitting here in August and you've had, you know, 8 months of other films.
Right. What does that tell you, Paul Hall, Common Guy Film Reviews, about people and their dollar, their movie dollar? Because obviously movie tickets have gotten way more expensive. I don't know about you, but I have to have the red vines and the popcorn and the drink when I go to the movies. So there's another $30 out the window. A lot of people are watching their budgets, but they still make time and make the money to go see these movies.
Well, yeah, people are spending their big bucks when they go to see the big titles, the ones that are elaborate enough that your home screen, no matter how good it is at home, can't do as good of a job as the giant screen. As Ethan would attest with The Odyssey, if you don't see that on the biggest screen possible, you're kind of letting yourself down because that one offers so much more on a bigger, bigger screen. Now, I'll tell you what, there is a way to do this cheap sometimes. And I love to give people cheap options. You know, there's mystery movies that come up once every couple weeks from the Marcus Group and the other theater chains. Marcus has one this weekend, a family one on Sunday, $6 to get in. You take your family. Now, you don't know what it's going to be, but I really believe, and it's a family title this weekend, I really believe it's going to be a big animated one that we're going to talk about on this airwaves next week that I have seen. And I'll tell you, what's up, Doc, to this movie? Acme is in trouble when it comes to getting sued by Coyote. It's just my guess. I have no inside information. That's Sunday at, I think, 1 o'clock at all the Marcuses, including Ronnie's and the others in town. So you don't know, though. It could be something totally different. I've seen some really bad ones, and I've seen some good ones. There's one on Sunday that's family-friendly, and then there's one actually on – there's a second one on Monday that's R-rated for those of you who want to see something more adult. I think that's at 7 o'clock as well. Those are $6 to get in, even if you hate it. $6 is a lot cheaper than a Starbucks.
Well, absolutely. And it's nice to know that people still are going to the movies because it was so sad what happened during 2020 and all that. And a lot of people just didn't go back. And it's nice to see people out there actually supporting the good movies. It's great to see these big movies having these huge dates.
Yeah, definitely. I want to mention something before we get out of here really quickly. There's a good documentary over on Netflix called Free Fall, A Reckoning for Boeing. Josh Hawley, Missouri senator, is in there, among other people. Incredible examination of the whole Boeing case and the whistleblower who took his life as it goes. Really good behind-the-scenes look into the Boeing information. And then we lost Hayden Panettiere earlier this week.
Yeah.
And she will always be Beth Cooper to me. There's been a number of movies, but I Love You, Beth Cooper is one of those niche movies that hit me right in the heart of kind of growing up. And I always wanted to, you know, that idea of you having a crush on that perfect quote unquote girl out there and wanting to do anything for them. She was pretty amazing at what she did. All kinds of weird stories behind the scenes on what may or may not have happened here. I won't get into any of that, but she had a really incredible career, over 70 movies credited to her on IMDb. And she was just a young lady. And yet, you know, 70 movies, she'd been in the industry forever.
Wow. I didn't realize the extent. Yeah, I hadn't. And that's what Ethan was saying. He kind of grew up with her, watching her, beautiful girl in tons of movies. It just breaks your heart.
Yeah,
36 years old.
I mean, like, Remember the Titans is one of my favorite movies of all time. And like, it's not like she's a main character, but like she has a very like loud role in that movie still. So I mean, like, yeah, very sad news this week with Hayden Panettiere.
Her stage presence brings her to the screen, Ethan, and that's the one thing you get is you will always know when she was on the screen because she just grabbed what was there. It is 25 years this year for The Fast and the Furious, and that is actually doing another kind of retro run in a lot of theaters this weekend too, and with some of the coolest looking popcorn merch out there. They got the car you can actually get as a popcorn bucket. Great thing for on your wall if you're a big fan of that movie. 25 years.
Wow.
Fast and Furious. That's crazy.
And they're up to what? Fast and Furious number 25 now? What number are they up to?
We're coming up on, I think, 10.
Okay. It's Hollywood. You know, they find a formula and they stick to it. They never.
If the formula works, it's going to make you a lot of money. And a lot of people don't want any deviations from the formula because they're comfortable. It's comfort food.
Well, because they have so many movies that don't work that we don't really hear much about that flop. They spend a lot of money on those, so they got to go with the sure thing. Paul Hall, great talking with you. And it'll be fun to see what you talk with Mark Reardon next week about with the movie that you're not telling us about.
That What's Up, Doc movie? That Acme versus Coyote? That Ketchup Entertainment film? Yeah, it's coming next week. We'll talk about it. I've seen it, and I can't tell you that I liked it. But so don't imply anything like that. But I didn't tell you that.
We're not going to say anything. It'll be our little secret. Off the record's off the record. No one heard you. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate you being here.
Take care.
I'm Heidi Harrison from Mark Reardon. Before we get to Frank Cusimano, I have to address this from the text line. By the way, if you'd like to text us, 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797. Somebody says, why does Heidi Harris keep on saying over and over, Heidi Harris in for Mark Reardon? I'll tell you why. Because it's not my show. I've had my own show for many years, but this isn't my show, and I think out of respect, I do it. And also, when you tune in to the radio, which people do constantly in, out, you want to know who you're hearing, right? That's why I do it. So, I'm Heidi Harrison from Mark Reardon. Hi, Frank Cusimano, KSDK Sports Director. How are you doing, sir?
Heidi, good to be with you out here at gorgeous Belrive Country Club. Round two about to wrap up. The heat got a little more sweltering than I thought. There's no wind that would account for the good scores and the soft greens. But in general, it's a magnificent day. They set a record yesterday with 28,000 attendance-wise, and I think there were more there today. And, let me just say this. Since they've been doing this BMW Championship for 20 years, they've never had a Thursday where they drew 28,000. Over the weekend, there could be 80,000, 40,000 Saturday, 40,000 Sunday. So St. Louis, like it always does, nails the big event with great attendances.
I love it. I'm absolutely thrilled about that. I know a lot of the crew is going to be out there over the weekend. Real quickly, before we get into other stuff, I wanted to ask you what you thought of Fernando Mendoza and how he's done for the first couple of games. I know it's preseason. How's he looking? You know, the Raiders think he's going to be the answer to their, you know, horrible leadership, but maybe he is. I love him. We all love him.
Well, we do, and there's a lot to love about him. His leadership is off the charts. He's really one of the great character guys we've ever had in college football. I think my gut feel is that he probably won't start day one. Kirk Cousins is a very polished, accomplished quarterback, and I think they're going to go with him initially. Maybe Mendoza week four, week five. He's done reasonably well in the preseason. I don't think his game two was great, but everything you hear out of Las Vegas is, yeah, this is the quarterback for the future.
Frank, I want to go back to the BMW championship here. First off, have there been any Mark Reardon sightings up to this point?
Yes, I did see him in the press room. But I'll say this for him. You know, the press room is where it's air-conditioned and there's TVs and lots of food. But Mark, though, has been more in the trenches and kind of walking. And that's what you got to do. I mean, there's a lot of people who just sit in that media room the whole time. And I understand because the food's really good. But you got to go out and experience and you got to see these guys, you know, 10 feet away hitting these unbelievable shots. So I think that's the only way. A little bit of both is the best way to experience this golf tournament.
Okay, I'm glad that Mark's not just sitting in the AC. That's what he's used to. You know, he's kind of, as you know, he's kind of pampered. So I'm glad that I'm glad he's working hard. We look at the leaderboard here. You got Gary Woodland, Wyndham Clark at the top, JJ Spawn's in the mix. Scottie Scheffler a little bit lower down on the list. What have you taken so far from the first, well, just about 2 days of golf?
Oh, look, I just got finished interviewing Gary Woodland, who now has a share of the lead with Wyndham Clark. If you're pulling for somebody to win this tournament, it's Gary Woodland. This is a guy who has overcome a brain tumor. He has overcome mental health issues. He has overcome so many things in his life to be here. And here he is tied with Wyndham Clark for the lead. He's from the University of Kansas. And he said that his team actually had pulled out some clothing for him to wear this weekend, and it was black and gold. And he said, no, I'm a Jayhawk. There's no way I am wearing Mizzou colors in St. Louis for this tournament. So he's a great guy. You got to root for him. And in terms of Scottie Scheffler, look, he started the day with 43 golfers ahead of him, and now there's only 22. He was 5-under-65 today. You have to fear him. He's the only guy who could be in 23rd place and everybody having Scottie Scheffler on their mind. So this could end up just being an incredible Sunday here at Belle Reve.
I imagine there's going to be a lot of attention over him. It sounds like it's going to be a great weekend here in St. Louis. Switching over to Cardinals baseball, some notable news today and not some great news. Andre Pallante, one of the Cardinals, you know, tough guys as far as impactful pieces on the starting rotation, in the starting rotation this year, is going to the injured list with elbow inflammation. Have to imagine that we're probably going to see a little bit more Quinn Matthews as a result of this, but your immediate thoughts to this, Frank?
Well, that's a blow because you're 2.5 games out of the final wild card playoff spot and you want the Italian stallion pitching every fifth day. I think with the exception of Jordan Walker, the next most shocking season for the Cardinals is Andre Pallante, who last year was 6-16. Nobody had any faith that he would come into this rotation to win a spot and then to be one of the better starting pitchers in the National League. So this is a big blow. Hopefully it's minor and he's back in a couple of weeks. But yeah, this one definitely hurts.
Frank Cusimano, KSDK Sports Director, thanks for being here. Have a good time in that tent, hanging out in the air conditioning. Don't lie. You know you're in there.
All right. Thank you so much, Heidi. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks. I'm Heidi Harris, in for Mark Reardon.
Get more at 971talk.com.